Blog Talk Radio.
Amen and hallelujah. We're praising the Lord today. We come to give him glory. We come to give him thanks. I say welcome to each of you for coming on today. We are grateful to the Most High God who created us, who keeps his holy breath in our bodies every day. He is the Almighty God. Nothing is impossible to him. He formed you, and even before he formed us, he knew us. He formed us. He shaped us in our mother's belly. He knew what we were going to be named. He knew everything about us. He said he knows the end of our lives from the beginning. What an amazing God he is. I thank God for all that he's doing in the earth realm for his people. Many are called, but few are chosen. So I thank you that we are the chosen ones. We're the ones that God loves. We're the ones that he protects, provides for. He is the mighty I am. He is Jehovah El Elyon, the Most High God. He is Adonai, the Lord of our lives. He is Elohim, the most powerful God in the universe. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God that he is Al Shaddai, Almighty God, Almighty. Nothing is impossible to you, O God. We thank you that he is Yahweh, Israel's covenant God. He makes covenants with his people, and he is not a man that he should lie. He keeps every promise, so we are grateful. He is the one who provides for us. You know his name, Jehovah Jireh. All you got to do is say, Jehovah Jireh, I need. And whatever you need, he will supply all of our needs through his riches and glory. He owns the whole world, and everything in it belongs to him. He is Jehovah Rapha, a mighty healer. Need a healing in your body? From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, call on Jehovah Rapha. I'm not talking about the earthly doctors. I'm talking about the heavenly doctor, Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord who heals. Oh, yeah. And then he loves us so much. He loves us with all his heart, soul, strength. And he commanded us to love him back with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. And then he attached the one to that, says, love each other like we love ourselves. He is Jehovah Mekadesh, the one who sanctifies us, the one who makes sure we are holy, the one who makes sure we are on the path. And then so much chaos in the world, call on Jehovah Shalom. Chaos in your house, chaos in your neighborhood, chaos in your city, your strength, on your street, chaos in your state, call on him, Jehovah Shalom, and he will make peace for you. He is a righteous God, Jehovah Tsidkenu. So you know he called us to be righteous and holy like him. And if you want a shepherd, call on him, Jehovah Roha. Oh, yeah, he's the shepherd. He said he is our shepherd and we shall not want. I don't care what valley you're walking in. It could be the valley of the shadow of death. Don't fear no evil, for he is with us. His rod and his staff comforts us every day of our lives. So he is everywhere. Jehovah Shammah. He's in Africa, Asia. He's in Australia, North America, South America, Europe. Oh, he's all over the world at the same time. You can be praying at the same time. 100 million people are praying, but he knows your voice individually. He don't lump us up together. He said, oh, yeah, that's my daughter. That's my son. Oh, yeah, those are my children. So he knows who you are. So I thank God for you today. You know what? He's ordering our steps. He's the God who orders our steps. We don't know the direction to go, but I thank God.
Thank you.
Amen. He's ordering our steps every day. Yep, without him ordering our steps, we may step on a landmine and be exploded. We may go down the wrong street and lose our lives. Ain't no telling what would happen. But because he's ordering our steps, we are in a safe place in him. So I thank each of you all for coming on today on the Wednesday midweek Bible study. You know what the word says? Study to be pleasing to God. You know, we got to study. Sometimes we study internet, you know, YouTube, Twitter, oh, Facebook, you know, whatever it is. We be studying all of those things. The Lord said we got to study his word daily to please him. So, Lord, forgive us when we don't open up the word. Forgive us, Lord. We don't open up the B-I-B-L-E and learn our basic instructions before leaving the earth realm, because that's what we need to know. We need our instructions before leaving the earth realm. All right. Somebody's got a little going on in the background. And if you would turn that phone on mute, please. Thank you so much, because it picks up the radio.
All right.
All right. Well, we took care of that. Thank God for each of you. You know, he orders our steps in the Word today in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. You know the Word. We were brought up with the Word, the Word of God. It says, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 1 and 2, remember now thy Creator. When? In the days of our youth. You know, most of us, the days of our youth have passed. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, while they should say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. So I thank God that he gave us the written word so we could study. Now also, you know, He gives us his word in our spirit. He speaks to us. He says, so if you're not hearing his voice, you got to get in a secret place and just open my ears so I can hear your voice. Because he's speaking all the time. All the time. Yep, he's speaking to you. Sometimes he's speaking dreams and visions. Sometimes he just, in your spirit, he says, don't eat that. No. Go study the word. Go pray for an hour. You know, he speaks to you. So you got to listen. Thank God for his word. And so, you know, it's praise time on Wednesday midweek Bible study. Thank God that we can praise the Almighty because he's so powerful. He's so mighty. We got to give him thanks. Praise. Thanksgiving. You know, he said, listen. I want you to praise me because you got breath. Everything that had breath, praise the Lord. So praise me because I created you. Give me thanks. I'm the one who created you. Give me praise. Honor me. So that's what we got, not just with your lips. He said, don't do, you know what, he's a precise God. He can tell us what to do and how to do it. He said, don't just do it with your lips. Praise me with your lips. Praise me with your whole heart. So, you know, we can fake it. You know that old saying, fake it till you make it? You can't do that with God. You already know we fake it. We got to be real with him. So I thank God today we have Sister Mary Nichols on with us. She's going to be singing a song of praise. She's from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I don't know if they have snow today, but, you know, I know we got kind of overcast here in Jacksonville. We're looking for the sun to come out. But we thank God for Sister Mary Nichols. How are you doing today, Sister Mary? Good afternoon.
I am blessed. I'm excited to be here. I'm happy. The Lord is good. That's all.
Amen.
So,
amen.
I want to sing a song that came to me early this morning. However, I couldn't find the words, but I'm going to sing it anyway because it's from the heart.
Yep. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Laid on the foundation of the world. For sinners crucified. Oh, holy. We thank God for that awesome, powerful song that God put in your spirit. So we thank you, Sister Mary. Now, we have Sister Lanny McBride on with us. She's from Jackson, Mississippi. I thank God for these women of God who God has given them, you know, graced them with beautiful voices, and he downloads songs in them. Good afternoon, Sister Lanny. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Sister G. How are you and all the ladies and gentlemen on the line? Praise God.
Hallelujah. What did you say today?
Mary, did you know?
Go ahead.
I've never really sung this before, but I love it, and it's a wonderful message to mothers who have loved on children. Amen. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storms with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Amen.
Man, that was awesome. Thank you so much. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I really appreciate that song. Oh, my God. Mary, did you know that your baby would deliver us? My God. Can you imagine how Mary felt?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I just cannot imagine. But, woo. Son of God in your womb. Hallelujah. We thank God. I was playing that song this morning. I played it for the children last Sunday when I was teaching Sunday school. I said, oh, my God. I got to listen to this song over and over this morning. And so many different people sing that song.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
It really talks
all
about
right.
the value of a child, you know, amen. Not to mention
yes.
our Christ, the Christ child, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we thank God for each of you today. We got Sister Marion on with us today. Sister Marion, we thank God for you joining us today. Sister Marion, would you like to pray for the senior citizens of throughout the world today? Safety, protection, healing, whatever the Lord say.
Yes. Hold on 1 minute.
Okay.
Most gracious and everlasting Father, right now I come before you on the strength of my own right now, Lord God. I come to praise you. I come to thank you right now, Lord God. I pray for the senior citizens right now, Lord God. You know all about all of us right now, Lord God. And you know, when we get up in age, everything seems to hurt and go wrong in our bodies right now. But I'm praying for healing, anointing, power over all of our bodies right now in the name of Jesus. Strengthen us where we weak right now, Lord God. Build us up where we torn down right now, Lord God. Let people help us instead of trying to take advantage of us because we are senior citizens. Cover us with the blood of Jesus wherever we go, whenever we go, cover us. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come to us in the name of your son, Jesus. I pray healing anointing over all of our bodies right now. And Lord God, just strengthen our minds right now, oh God. Let our minds be sharp and focus on your word right now, oh God. Lift our spirits right now, oh God. Let us not be depressed about anything right now, oh God. Let us just lean and depend on you, Lord Jesus, to lift us up, to carry us right now, oh God, to be our comforter right now, oh God. Heavenly Father, I just thank you and I just praise you. Continue to work with the senior citizens right now, oh God. Help us to be an asset right now, oh God. And don't let our children or other people see us as a liability, but let them see us as an asset. Help us right now to continue positive in whatever we do right now. Let's continue healing and anointing over our bodies in the name of Jesus. I pray and ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I thank God for the Psalms, for the prayer. Thank God for each of you all being on today. Get your Bibles ready. You know this is a Bible study. Got to get those Bibles ready. So, we're going to be doing a scripture search. So you got to have your Bible in front of you. So our first question is choose a scripture from one of the books of the law. Choose a scripture from one of the books of the law and read it. So once you get it, state your name, the scripture, and read it. First one, find it, state your name. Read it. Choose a scripture from the books of the law. Now, I'm going to review. You know the books of the law? Who can tell me what the books of the law are? I know Sister Lainey
Sister
knows.
G.
Uh-huh.
By the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy.
Good job. Excellent. I knew you knew. All right. There you go. So find a scripture from one of those books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, or Deuteronomy. State your name and the scripture and read it. It could be Genesis 1:1. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So I did that one. So you choose another one. All right, somebody, anybody, read. All the lines are off mute. They're on. So just pick a scripture from those five books of the law. It's also called the Pentateuch. So read.
This is Sister Lena, Deuteronomy 28, verse 13.
Okay. All right.
And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Love that scripture.
Amen. Awesome. Thank you so much. All right.
Amen.
So here's the next one. Choose a scripture from the Gospels. Choose a scripture from the Gospels and read it. Sister Mary, what are the Gospels? Sister Mary, are you there? She got a phone on me.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
Amen. So choose a scripture from there and read it. Go right ahead. Name the scripture and read it from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John.
I want to read something from Luke. I'm having trouble finding it.
Sister G, I have one. Can I read it while she's
okay.
Looking for hers?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all that are heavy labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That was Matthew 11, 28 through 30.
All right, so we're moving right along. Thank you so much. This is a three-part question. How many books are in the Old Testament? State your name and tell me.
Sister Marion.
Okay.
39.
Excellent. Very good. All right, good job. All right, next part of that question. How many books are in the New Testament? State your name and tell us.
Sister Marion, 27.
Okay. Excellent. Very good. All right, so how many parts does the Bible have? How many parts does the Bible have? State your name. Tell us. How many parts does the Bible have?
Mary, 66.
It does? Wow. What are the parts of the Bible? You could tell me.
The Old Testament and the New Testament?
Oh, that's it, right? That's the answer. The Old Testament and New Testament got parts. They are the Old Testament and New Testament. Good job. All right. Y'all trying to trick me today. I see that now. Where is this scripture found? This is all this right you from last week. Where is this scripture found? My shepherd. Where is that found?
Can you repeat it? What you said, Sister G?
Yes. The Lord is my shepherd. Where is that found?
Is it Psalm 23?
Yes, ma'am.
Mary.
Psalm 23. All right. Next question. Where is this scripture found? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Where is that one found? Sister Mary.
Psalm 31.
You're close. Number. It's about six digits off. Six digits off the first number. Psalms what?
37.
You said Psalm 31. I told you the first number is six digits off. So you got to add six more to that first number, and you're going to get it.
91. Thank you.
Oh, brilliant. Yes.
I can add sometimes. Thank you.
Help me do something. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Where is that found?
Mary, Psalms 1?
Okay. Yes, ma'am, Psalms 1. All right. Last part to this one. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That's in more than one place, but whichever place you find is going to be good. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Where is that found?
Mary, Psalms 100.
Good. Excellent stuff. All right. Now, I remember last week you found it Psalm 66 and 1 as well. So I thank God for you. Thank God for each of you. All right. So now I'm going to ask you to name a major, a minor prophet. Who can name a minor prophet? It's 12 of them. So name a minor prophet.
Mary, Habakkuk.
All right. Very good. That's a minor prophet. Now, who can name a major prophet? Major prophet.
Mary.
Hello.
Mary. Okay. Isaiah.
Very good. All right. Isaiah's the major prophet. All right. We're finished with that. Now we're going to be moving into the message itself. So I need readers. You know, I need readers. So who can read for us? The first scripture I need read is Psalm 37:23. Who can read that one?
Mary.
This is
okay. All right, so, Sister Lanny. 37:23, Mary. Psalm 37:23.
Okay.
The next scripture, Sister Lanny, is 1 Corinthians 14:40. 1 Corinthians 14:40. And Sister Marion, can you read 1 Peter 2:9? Sister Marion, 1 Peter 2:9.
Yes.
Okay.
I have it.
All right, thank you. And the last scripture, Galatians 5:22-23. Sister Lanny, you want to do that one?
Yes, ma'am. Say it again. Galatians what now?
5:22-23. Yes,
ma'am.
Yes. Okay, thank you. All right. So, as we begin to read the word, I'm going to start. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 is where this title is taken from. The right use of our time. Time is of the essence. Time is valuable, and we have to use it wisely. The right use of our time. Time is valuable, and we have to use it wisely. So Psalms 90 verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. I tell you, Solomon was so wise, just like God said, very wise. In another version, it says, teach us to number each of our days so that we may grow in wisdom. Organization is the key to using our time wisely. We have to be organized. If we're not organized, our time is going to get away from us. So I remember when I was a teenager, I wanted to go places, but I couldn't do it unless all of my work was done. So I tell you, I was about 12, 13. So I know I couldn't go to my friend's house. I couldn't go to the football game, the basketball game. So I started writing a list of everything, all my daily chores, the weekly chores. I said, oh, no, I'm going to check them off. I got to get all this done every day. So even now, almost every day, not every day, but almost every day, I write a list of things that I have to get done. I write down praise and worship, read scripture. I write down prayer time every day or almost every day. So if I don't, it's going to escape me. I'm like, oh, what should I be doing right now? So this helped me organize. So organization is the key to using our time wisely. Now, routine. You know, most of us have a routine. You may get up, pray, brush your teeth, eat, you know, whatever it is. But establishing a routine is very good. It helps us to stay organized, and it helps us to remember. You know, after a while, you don't even have to think about it. When you do a routine, it just come automatic. You know you're going to do this first, you're going to do that next, whatever it is, you're going to do it. So using time wisely is very, very important. Now, when we wake up, one of the things we need to do is acknowledge God, say, Lord, you did again. Thank you. You got breath in my body. My bones can move. I could think. My brain is working. You know, just acknowledge God and thank him for who he is and thank him that he's so great and he's so loving. He's so kind. He's omnipotent. You know, he's at your house, my house. He's all over the world. We just got to acknowledge who he is and just thank him. And then, you know, after that, you might want to pray. You know, you may want to be led by the Spirit to pray. Sometime I'll get the Bible, and I'll pray the word. I may read Psalms 91. Lord, I thank you that you allow me to dwell in the secret place with you, O Most High. I thank you that I can abide under your shadow, Almighty. I thank you that I can say of you, Lord, truly, you are my refuge. Whatever it is, you know, you can pray the word. Sometimes I say, Lord, I don't even know what to pray today. I don't even know what to pray for. So then I get the Bible, and I say, Lord, so I can read the word. I can pray. So sometimes, you know I get stuck with what to pray for. So the next thing, you know, is read the word. I read the word, and a lot of times, because these phones are equipped, I'll, you know, just Google the scripture for the day, and I'll, you know, let it play. But I'm sure, you know, almost every day I got to read that word. Sometimes I say, oh, my God. But that's why I keep a list, because if I don't, I'm going to forget. Oh, I ain't read the word today, and it's 10 o'clock at night. And then when you start to read the word, you know what's going to happen. You go like, the Lord is, you be sleeping. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall. And the devil want to put you to sleep because you waited so long. So we got to pray the word, read the word, and then you got to study. So, you know, some days, I'm going to tell you, some days I just didn't study yet. And I said, Lord, I didn't please you today. Forgive me, Lord. But we got to study. And I thank God for my study Bible. My father bought me my first study Bible. Do you know, I didn't realize how valuable it is. It's a Thompson Chain study Bible. Now, they have other study Bibles, but I like this one. It's got a lot of, like in Genesis 1:1, the Lord is our shepherd. I shall not, I'm sorry, I was doing Psalms 23. But it does say, you know, then on the side, it's going to be shepherd. And it'll have all these scriptures about the shepherd, the Lord. So I like that study Bible because it gives me all kind of information. It's got what the books of the Bible contain. Like if you want to, you know, read Genesis, it'll tell you what Genesis entails. It's got a lot of information. You want to know who the apostles were, the prophets. It's got their names in there and what they, you know, what they represent, who they were, what they did. So I thank God we got to study. And then, you know, like I said, we can pray the word. Read the word, study the word, and pray the word. So there's a song that I sing with the children on Sunday, the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, the Bible. I love the Bible. That's the book for me, the B-I-B-L-E. And we'll say, right at the moment. But anyway, we'll sing, I will read it, I will study it, and I will obey. So those are the verses I go with the children about the Bible. They need to know that God's word is more important than their book or their math book or their science book, that God's word is very, very important. All right, Sister Mary, you're the first reader. You got Psalm 37:23.
Yes, ma'am, Psalms 37:23. The steps of a good man.
I thought it was Sister Mary. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sister Lynn.
Sister Mary, you go ahead. I'll take Galatians at the end. Sister Mary, take that one.
I have Psalm 37, verse 23. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. And
Amen. Thank you so much. So, you know, in King James Version, it says, the steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. So the Lord, this is another one, NIV, says the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his right hand. Oh, my God, I love that. I looked up the scriptures on the right hand of God. That's a powerful hand. So I thank God. That right hand of God is very powerful. So when we trust in God to direct our path, he's going to do it. We said, Lord, I don't know which way to go. I probably said this before. I was in New Orleans, and I was coming from the airport, and I was lost. That was way before GPS. I mean, you know, they may have had it, but I didn't know about it. So I said, Lord, I don't know which way to go. He told me which way to go, but I didn't trust. And I went the wrong way, and I had to repent. I said, oh, Lord, forgive me. You told me to go the other way. So I thank God that he's my GPS. Ooh, hallelujah. So we got to stay in tune with God, and he will lead us every day in a plain path. All right, Sister Lana, you got 1 Corinthians 14:40. Sister Lana, you on mute? You got 1 Corinthians Chapter 14, verse 40.
I thought you gave me Galatians 5:22-23.
I did, but I also
okay.
Gave
you want me to read? Okay.
Yeah.
Say that again, Sister G. What is it?
1 Corinthians 14:40.
Oh yes, ma'am. 1 Corinthians 14:40.
Yeah.
Okay. And it reads, let all things be done decently and in order. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. God is a God of order. You know, when you look at the book of Genesis and, you know, like the first chapter or first couple of chapters, God ordered our steps. Hold on, please. Hold on. So when you look at the book of Genesis, God orders our steps. He not only, I'm sorry, I was saying that Genesis, he's the God of order. He ordered everything. He did everything. He, you know, the world was without form or void. So then what he did was he made light. He made light. He separated the light from the darkness. And after that, he did everything before he put human beings on the earth. He did day one, day two, day five, four, five, three, four, five, six. And then on the sixth day, created human beings. But, you know, on that seventh day, oh, he's brilliant. He rested. You know, some of us go, you know, I do it too. Like the ever-ready bunny. I think I got, you know, the everlasting battery. No, sometimes we just got to rest. You know, people be called. Sometimes I just have to shut my phone down and turn it off completely or just shut it down, the sound, and take a nap. I got to go to sleep, take a rest. Or at night, got to get in the bed. Sometimes I'm up till 3 o'clock in the morning. Or sometimes the Lord will wake me up. And I think it's a bathroom call, but it's a call to pray. We got to cover, you know, cover our city, our state, our neighborhood, everything. So God is a God of order. You know, he made us in his image, and we got to be orderly like him. So life is very brief. It's very short. So we have to make good use of our time. We have to be about our Father's business. We don't know when he's coming. He may come any second, any hour, any year. We don't know. But we got to be ready when he comes. So Jesus, one day, you know, his parents, they were had gone on a, you know, like a conference. We'll say like a conference, right? A yearly conference. And when Jesus was 12 years old, you know, he told his parents, he said, listen, I got to be about my Father's business. They went to that conference and, you know, when they left the conference, you know how you go with your family, all your cousins, uncles, aunts, grandparents, everybody, you know, and you going back to your hometown. And then everybody think that you are, you know, with the family. And they say, well, where's Sister Lanny? And they go like, well, she back there. They have to keep walking. They say, is she in your, find out with your grandparents, are you there with them? No. With your aunts and uncles? No. You with your cousins? No. So they had to go all the way back to the temple. And guess where they found Jesus? In the temple with the leaders. Now, the leaders. You know those leaders? They found him there. And, boy, he was imparting wisdom in the leaders. So when they took him out, they said, Jesus, you're supposed to be with us. Why weren't you with your family? And he gave them a revelation. He was 12 years old. He said, didn't you know I have to be about my Father's business? He wasn't talking about Joseph. He was talking about his father. So, you know, I know each one of us, you know, we got to be about our Father's business. God is our Father. We got to be. We don't have time to waste. You know, time is out. You know, like there's a song that said, time is winding down. The right use of our time is valuable. So we have to use it wisely. Jesus started when he was 12 years old, and we still have a mission to do because we still have breath. Now, his mission started when he was 12. But when he really got into ministry when he was 30 years old, 30 to 33 years old. So we all have work to do. We don't have time to wait. All right, so our next scripture, let me see before we do that one. We who are children of God have to be about our Father's business just like Jesus did. Many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus was chosen to die for our sins. What's your mission? We all have a mission. We're not chosen like Jesus to die for. I'm not chosen to die for y'all's sins. You're not chosen to die for my sins. But we all have a call. Many are called, but few are chosen. We are chosen ones. All right, Sister Marion, You have 1 Peter 2 and 9. I apologize.
Yes, 1 Peter 2 and 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen, amen. So we are a chosen generation. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, people always thought I was peculiar, and they still do. They say, you're not like other people. I'm like, yeah, but I'm like God's people. Now, when I was a child, I didn't know nothing about God, right? So I didn't know. People told me I was different, but I didn't know what it meant until I was grown, way up in age, that God chose us, and we are peculiar. Why are we peculiar? God is peculiar, and we are like him. So I thank God every day that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? We got to show forth his praises every day. He called us out of the dark way. You know that east way? He said, no, no. Mary, Marion, Caritha, all of us. He said, you got to come out of that dark way. So I had to give up that way. Sometimes I slipped back in the mud, but then he cleaned me up again. So we were chosen to praise God and to be the light of, in a dark world. We must be about our Father's business now. 2023 is quickly approaching. Time is winding down. So we must spread the good news of the gospel. What's the good news? It's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in case you haven't read it. Many people are in the dark, and they don't know God in the pardon of their sins. But that's our job. It is our job to tell them who Jesus is and why he came to the earth. You know, there are many children that teenagers, young adults, they've never been in a church before. Ain't ever stepped on the steps. So, you know, I meet them all the time in the grocery store, wherever I go. We got to tell them, listen, you know you are loved. God loves you. And some of them on drugs. Some of them out there, prostitutes. I used to have one in my neighborhood all the time. She used to be out there sitting on the bench. I said, hey, girl, how you doing? I'm doing okay. I said, can I pray for you? Yeah, sure, you can pray for me. I prayed for her every time I saw her. And then one day I missed her. I mean, I probably prayed for her over a year every time I was here. And I said, you know, because I was walking in the neighborhood and praying. One day I said, I wonder where she went. I don't see her no more. She moved completely out the neighborhood. So I have no clue where she is, but I pray that she's safe and that she is now one of the chosen ones for the Lord, doing what the Lord wants her to do. So we got to spread the word. We can't choose. You know, I was in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. I had to get on a Greyhound bus, and there was a man in the Greyhound bus station. And he was just a cussing and a fussing and just a fussing and a cussing. And so I went over to him, and I said, sir, are you okay? He said, no, I'm not okay. I said, well, what's the matter? And he began to tell me his story, what was going on. And the man was drunk as I don't know what now. But I kid you not, I prayed for him. After I prayed for him, the man started prophesying to me. So he was a child of God. He was one of the chosen ones, but he had gotten mud on his garment. So, you know, I could have said, oh, I don't even want to talk to him. He's drunk. No, God got people. They're not delivered yet. Like the prostitute, she was one of God's children, but she wasn't delivered from prostitution yet. There are many people you see out here. They smoking dope. They murdering people. Some of them have been caught. Don't you remember Apostle Paul? He was Saul. He had a call on his life. He was killing God's people. But then God called him. And he went on that path to Damascus. Remember the road to Damascus? So you know what? A lot of times, you know, we'd be judging people. Oh, look at them drug dealers and what. Let me tell you, many of them are called, and many of them are chosen, but they haven't been delivered yet. So just like Saul, He wasn't delivered. When he got delivered, God changed Paul, apostle. He was one of the greatest of the apostles. Even though he did not walk with Jesus like the other disciples did every day, he was born out of due season. So you remember the story. So I thank God, you know, for his word. And, you know, the world is really unprincipled. You know, they don't have principles. They may, you driving on the street, they may try to run you off the road. They'll be right on your gate, on your tailgate. They tailgate you. They be right running. Where are you going? I don't know where to be going. But they will run you over if you let them. So, you know, the Bible says the world is unprincipled. I'm looking for 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 right now. And it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So now, in another version of the Bible, it says, it's a dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair. That's what it says. This is another version of the Bible. The world doesn't fight fair. But we don't live or fight our battles the way the world do. They fight with guns, Uzis, knives, whatever. Sticks, chains, balls. Oh, my God. I saw a policeman the other day. And I said, do you have a tase gun? He said, yeah. So, you know, they don't have to murder people all the time. They can tase the person, knock them all out. You know, we're sick of the violence, the crime, the murder. They don't have to murder nobody. They can shoot them and tase them, knock them all out. And then they can rush in handicapped, put them in those cuffs, you know, handcuff them. So the tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing the entire massive corruptive culture. You see some people, they just, you know, they got their own little thing going on, and you try to tell them about God. I was in the grocery store last week. No, that was Sunday. I think it was Sunday. But anyway, I asked this young man if I could pray for him. He said, Miss, I'm not religious. I said, me either. I said, Jesus wasn't religious. No. So I said, can I pray for you? Oh, I know. That was last week. He was driving a big truck. He said, and he had come to get his lunch. I was at this place. And he said, okay, you can pray for me. I prayed for him. And he said, Miss, you read my whole life. He said, how did you know this? I said, sir, that was not me. That was God telling you about your life. You have a call on your life. He said, you know, somebody else told me that too. So I'm telling you. He looked at me like an old, you know, one of them old religious women. You always got to say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord. No. I said, no, I'm not religious. And I want to pray for you. So he said, well, okay. So he let me pray for him. And he said, oh, my God, you look like you've been riding in the truck. You've been all over with me. I said, no, we just meeting each other for the first time. I said, but it wasn't me. It was God. So that's what it means by demolishing a corrupt culture. We got to have words that can tear down the strongholds that believe that Jesus was just an ordinary man. No, he was not. He's the Son of God. So a lot of young people, they've been taught the wrong thing. So we got to stay prayed up. So when God point out, go over there and pray with her. That prostitute over there, I got to do it. I got to do it. I can't judge her. The Bible says we all is filthy rags, you know, and the righteous going to scarcely make it in. So who can I judge? Nobody. I got it like that. I'm not Jesus. I can't judge nobody. And don't you know Jesus didn't judge There was a woman at the well. He didn't judge her. He told her about her life. He said, okay, go and sin no more. So that's what we got to do. We can't tell the young women, look here, baby, your skirt too short. It's about showing this here and showing that and da-da-da. No, we just got to pray for them. We can't judge them. And we got to let them go and keep them in your prayer list. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophy. Yeah, I mean, people, they got all kind of philosophy. Oh, you know, I ain't for Jesus. I'm for Buddha. You know, they got all kind of philosophies out here. They like, oh, you know, I could do this. And, you know, God not going to, you're not going to, I can marry a man. I'm a man, but I can marry a man. Those are abominations, but they don't know it. They got churches for these people. And they say, well, you know, if I decide I want to murder somebody, won't God forgive me? I mean, I'm talking about these barriers, that these philosophies they have against the truth of God. Setting everyone loose thoughts, yeah, loose thoughts and emotions and impulses into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. So we just got to sometimes labor with people. You may have some neighbors sometimes say, them church people, they be taking my money. You know, all them things they think about. You know, I know this pastor. He was sleeping with, you know, all of them. They got all of this crap going on. No, I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about you. What about you? God's going to handle them, but what about you? What you going to do? You know, are you going to be saved? Or are you going to let them people stop you from being saved because they're in sin? What you going to do? Time is very important and crucial. We must be about our Father's business. We must tell other people that Jesus is alive. He ain't dead. You seen that movie? It's called He Ain't Dead, He's Alive. And he loves them, and he wants them to have a good life. He wants them to come out the mud and the mire. He don't want them to be, you know, prostitutes, drug dealers, murderers, you know, slanderers, all of those things. He wants a better life for all of us. He don't want us to be in the worldly life no more, but a kingdom life. And that's not a religious life. I'm talking about a kingdom life. Free from our sinful nature. Some people feel like, well, you know, I just told a little lie. I'm like, what? So in a few minutes, Sister Lanny going to be reading that scripture in Galatians. But God wants us to have good fruit.
You ready for it? Galatians.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Hold on one second.
Galatians.
He wants
okay.
us to have fruit of the in our lives so that we can live good lives. He don't want us to live that ungodly life anymore, you know, where we were lying, stealing, cheating, you know, we ducking, dodging, hiding, thinking the pastor going to see it. But look here, God sees everything. He already know the end of our lives from the beginning. So I don't care. Even your thoughts, he know them from afar off. I'm like, uh-oh, I got to watch my thoughts. I said, oh, yeah, well, she looked cross-eyed at me. I didn't have a good thought about it, but I had to cast that down, Zayna. I had to cast these thoughts down, you know. So, all right, Sister Lane, Galatians 5:22-23.
Yes, ma'am. I want to mention, Sister G, that every now and then your line fades out. When they come back in and it fades out again. I don't know if anybody else is having that trouble. But
what
it
about
fades
you,
out.
Sister, Sister Mariam, are you experiencing that too?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, I'm going to let the radio know that this is fading in and out. What about you, Sister Mary? You experiencing that too, in and out?
Every once in
it
a while.
It just happened
yes.
again. It just happened.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I will let the radio, Blog Talk Radio know so they can clear all those problems up. But thank you all for letting me know. And, you know, the last day or so, I've been having problems with the Internet. So it'll go, as a matter of fact, when I was texting people, I text probably like 25, 30 people today, and it wouldn't even go. And I realized I had to look at my Internet, and I said, oh, the Internet is out. So anyway, we'll keep going. Thank you, sister, for letting me know. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
Amen, amen. I was just teaching the children at church about the fruit of the Spirit, and we're talking about natural fruit that's healthy for your body, like oranges, bananas, and they were telling me what fruit they like, cherries and peaches and all that. I said, no, we're going to be talking about some fruit that God can give us. So God gives us the fruit of the Spirit. It says in abundant supply. I mean, you know, he keeps giving. So I thank God for it all the time. So some of the words I had to break down for them, especially like temperance, they know, I said it means self-control. And I say, you know, not only do children have problems with self-control, but adults too. Now, we have problems with self-control. Sometimes, you know, the doctor said, now, look, you don't need to drink no more Coca-Cola. Like, but God, I just got to have one. You know, that's self-control. So we got to say, God, I need more of the fruit of the Spirit, self-control, because every day I feel like I got to eat, you know, a whole loaf of bread. I got to have 25 Coca-Colas. I got to have a little sugar in my cup. Whatever it is, we need self-control. That's what God gives us. So we got to ask for it. So in order to tell people these principles of God, we must take time to learn them for ourselves. We got to take time to study, time to learn. And we must be, you know, we must use our time wisely because it's valuable. We don't know when God's coming for us, but we know we got to be about his business. So time is winding down. We don't have time to waste. So I'm going to say a prayer over us. You know, every now and then we get kind of slack. We get slack with, you know, prayer. I don't know, maybe you're not like me. Maybe you're very consistent. But I know I can get slack in prayer. I'll get up, especially if he wakes me up at 3 in the morning. I'm like, oh, Lord, I'll flip on Facebook. And I said, oh, my God, forgive me, Lord. I'm supposed to be praying, and I'm on Facebook. Forgive me. So, we slip off. We get slack. And, you know, sometimes he'll put somebody in my mind, and I'll just go, and I'm in the kitchen cooking. I'll forget. I said, oh, my God, the Lord, you told me to pray for so-and-so. I haven't done it yet. It was an hour ago. So, you know, this is a prayer to break prayerlessness and spiritual slackness. Father, in the name of Jesus, we shut every demonic door that has been opened to hinder our prayer life. We bind the cares of the world and the pride of life. Leviathan is bound from our neck, and behold, has no place in our loins. Pride and deception are our enemies and not our friends. We break every dark covenant that has been set against the call of God on our lives. We are liberated from every unholy thing that will creep into the corridors of our spiritual lives. We renounce all soul ties that would distract our mind from our prayer assignment. We bind all financial, emotional, physical, associational, professional distractions against our private time with God and our prayer assignment on the wall. We renounce any witchcraft or forms of manipulation that will infiltrate our spiritual lives. The spirit of infirmity is bound. The spirit of slumber is bound. The spirit of slothfulness is bound. The spirit of hopelessness is bound. The greed and selfishness are bound forever off of us. We are quickened by the spirit of the Most High God to fast, watch, and pray, worship, study the word, and warfare in the name of Jesus. The spiritual discipline of the Lord is our portion. The lines of the Spirit have fallen upon us to stand in the gap. We get in the place, we get in our place and our position and position ourselves on the wall. We curse the spirit of Sanballat and Tobias, we will not come down off the wall. We are doing a great work for the Lord. Lord, show us any people, places, or things that have been strategically put in our path to blind our eyes, close our ears, our mouth, to shut our mouth in the spirit. We plead the blood of Jesus over our eyes, our ears, our mouth. In the name of Jesus, they will be used by God in this hour. We renounce outright the subliminal idolatry that might be affecting us. We are not our own, and we do not lean to our own understanding. Our spiritual life is prosperous and do no good thing. Our spiritual lives are prosperous, and no good thing will be held back from us. We cast the spirit that comes against our prayer life out of our houses. All heaviness and depression go from us and our families now in the name of Jesus. We put on the whole arm of God, and every fiery dart of the enemy is broken off our minds and cast out of our heart. Our loins are girded about with truth, and every lie against our intercession, our relationship with God is defeated. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We carry the anointing of intercession in our belly. In one hand, we have the sword of the Spirit, and in the other hand, the shield of faith. The word of God is not us. And he will decree and declare the oracles of God before men and behind closed doors. The word of God will go from the Logos to the Rhema as we speak it forth in prayer. The things we speak in prayer will take feet and do what the Lord has commanded through our mouths. Lord, we thank you for helping us to pray prayers that bring results and avail much. All creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, of the sons and daughters of God. We will not keep creation on hold. We were created to have a personal relationship with God, to stand in the gap on the wall, and to make up the hedge. We realize that our prayers can change our family, our city, and our nation. We realize that souls may be lost if we are not obedient in prayer. We will not miss the call of God on our lives, and we repent for yielding to our flesh to be lazy in prayer. From this moment forward, we yield and submit our prayers, our prayer life to the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I thank God for that prayer. As I was in prayer this morning, I said, oh, my God, I found that prayer in one of my prayer books. So I thank God for giving me that prayer to share with you all. So remember, this week our homework was to state three things that we plan to do before we leave the earth for God. So we started them last week. So who wants to go first? Okay, I'll do mine. Mine says, I try to be a true witness so that, you know, for God, so the souls can be saved, delivered, and set free. The other one is, I will teach thousands of children the right way, God's way, to have an impact on people eating healthy, 3 John 2. So those are my three things that I want to do before I leave the earth. So who wants to go next?
I will.
Okay, go ahead.
This is Mary, and I haven't quite gotten it all together, but I have a list of three. The first one, based on 3 John verses 2-4 about health, you know, so I want to establish the Healthy Church Initiative. and try to teach people about health, but especially church people, Christians, so that we can be strong. The Lord uses us through to the end. So the Healthy Church Initiative, that was the first one. Of course, even above that, though, is John 3:16, and for me to always be ready with the word of the Lord and to point to Christ for salvation and truth in the face of evil and lies. That was the second one. The third one is, Daniel 12:3, and that is to help. Daniel 12:3 is that those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. And I want to be used to teach and to help the students that I have even now, and that the Lord might give me about health, and coach them in becoming holistic health coaches along with me. So those were my three.
Those are awesome. Thank you. All right, who's next? Mr. Lanny, you got yours?
Hello.
Mr. Lanny, can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, ma'am. You still chop it up a little bit. What is the request, Mr. G?
Your three things that you want to do for God before you leave the earth.
Oh, Lord. Oh, God. The first
That's
thing coming to my mind is, yes, ma'am, my list is short. I just want to die empty, as Miles Monroe say. I want to get everything out of me that he put in me to gift the earth from him. I just want to, I have an office, and I have published some teaching material for school and church, and it's still in the office. That's just a Haggai 2, I think it's 2:18. Is that seed yet in the barn? I got seed yet in the barn. I need to get out. That's the number one priority for on a personal level of what I'd like to do. And just let every day and every experience with all the people I ever meet, somehow they'll see the light of Christ.
Okay.
And be encouraged to love him and to let him love them. That's it. That's my list.
All right. All right, Sister Miriam, I know you aren't around, but do you have anything that you want to share today?
Yes. What I want to do is I want the Lord to give me more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of his word. And I want to be able to teach other people his words and lift them up, give them a scripture that will lift them up when they're down. I want to continue to trust in the Lord and not lean onto my own understanding, you know, but trust and lean on him. And I want him to teach me his statutes so that I should keep it until the end. That's the Psalm 119:33. And open my eyes that I can discern things around me. And that's in Psalms 119 and 18. And I want to just show more love to people, more love to people, draw people to love one another, to forgive one another, and to just work together on a whole. Those are some of the things that I want to do.
All right. Sounds good. Y'all did great. All right, I'll be sending now. Next week, we won't have homework because Sister Mary is going to be speaking about nutrition. So she'll be on with us next week. I thank God for her. Thank God for each of you all. So it's prayer time. Sister, one of y'all want to pray. You know, I was with baby Chloe's mother the other day. She took me out to lunch. And my God, baby Chloe, and she is such a big girl now. Her dad had taken her to the hospital. She had to have a blood transfusion. But her mom met a lady who had the same problems baby Chloe had. And this woman was a young woman in her 20s. And she overcame all of that. So it was like God was encouraging her that your baby is going to overcome all these things just like this young woman did. So that was such a blessing for her to meet a young woman who, she said the young woman had a liver transplant when she was baby, like a baby, and the lady overcame all of those things that she had to go through. So that was a blessing. Well, I thank God. So we got, I'm going to start calling him Toddler. He's a toddler now. Chloe, Zoe, Revere, and Devin. They're little toddlers. So we're just going to pray and thank God. Let's just thank God for all the healing that he's done in their bodies. And we know they're going to have total healing because he sent the word already. So who wants to thank God for their total healing? Sister Laney, why don't you do it?
Yes, ma'am. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, so thank you that you are God, our God, and you are our loving Father who we rest in and have confidence in, that every moment and every day your grace and mercy and your favor go before us, and we are kept by the blood of Jesus. And because we are kept, you've given us authority to use your name, because we invited you to live on the throne of our hearts. And we come touch and agree, and Father, that you being the power and the glory have the power to completely and totally heal all the babies that Sister G just named. Thank you for making us instruments that we can speak your voice in the earth, speak your voice over these circumstances that the children go through, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, every muscle, tissue, blood vessel, nerve, the sinew in their bones, the joints, their minds, their hearts, all their vital organs, all the muscles, tissues, and nerves will all agree that you are the creator, and we command them to get in line in the name of Jesus, that they will be whole and they will be used for your glory as you purpose them to be. So we give you praise, Father, for what we speak those things to be, not as though they were, because that's who you are. You speak and things happen. So we're speaking, when we agree with your word, they're totally healed, and they are function. They will be able to function and make a difference in the earth and live out their purpose. Thank you, Father, for this Bible study line, and we thank you for Sister G and all of us who are here somewhere together. So love you and bless you, Father, for every grace and every mercy. Thank you for healing our precious babies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much. Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, it's almost closing time, but not from your presence, oh God. So I thank you for Sister Mary Nichols, Lord God. Thank you for her husband, her children, oh God. I thank you, Lord God, for the aspirations you put within her, oh God, to be able to, oh God, teach other people about health and their well-being, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So we thank you, oh God, for Health Church Initiative and the things that she wants to get done for you, to give you glory, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for her pointing people towards you in the way that she lives and the way that she speaks, oh God. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for her light shining. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, heal her body, Lord. Any kind of knee stiffness, soreness in the body, we thank you for healing her totally, Lord. In the name of Jesus, thank you for keeping her husband healthy and well. Father, we thank you that you are the great physician, and you sent the word and healed us. So we receive that word in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for Sister Lani, your daughter, a mighty woman of God who has made a great impact in her city in Jackson, oh God. I thank you for the education that she has given out in music and in the word of God, oh God. I thank you for her family, oh God. Thank you for her pastor. I thank you for her brothers and her sisters, Lord, who are on assignment from you. They are not just called, but they are chosen, and they're doing a great work. So, Father, straighten out every crooked path in the body of Christ where she is. Oh, God, keep the path going in the right direction, oh, God. Any kind of dissension, oh, God, we thank you for unity, love, favor, truth coming forth. Jesus, we thank you, Father God, for removing personality problems, oh, God, where this one feel like, oh, no, it's my way or no way. In the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for what you're doing. And Sister Lani, we thank you that she is a godly leader, oh, God, and she wants to leave empty. She wants to make sure that she has done everything that you have assigned her to do in this earth. And, Lord, you said to whom much is given, much is required. So, Lord, she has a lot to do. I think that she'll roll up her sleeves, whether it's sweep the bathroom at the church, or whether it's take somebody out to tell them about you, whatever it is, I thank you that you have already prepared. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for Sister Miriam, Lord, teaching your word to other people, God. And Lord, she's worried about one of her children, a daughter, or someone like a daughter. I lift that child up before you. And I thank you for love, joy, peace, all the fruit of the Spirit in their relating to one another. I thank you, Lord God, for Sister Mary, everything you're doing on her behalf. I thank you for healing for her body. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for removing all of the schisms, all of the problems, oh, God, sometimes that, you know, just seem to plague her. But, Lord, I think she's going to focus on the good news rather than on the other. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I thank you that we will all focus on truth, not the news on the TV, but the news that you give us in your word, oh, God. So continually walk with us and talk with us, be a lamp and a light to our pathway. And, Father, as we close out this broadcast, but not from your presence, we thank you that you are walking with us. You are speaking to us in the name of Jesus by your Holy Spirit. So we receive what you tell us to do. Help us be obedient in the name of Jesus. Help us even when you tell us something and we don't understand it, or we have this mindset of, Lord, I want to do it this way. I think that we'll shift and do it your way, because your way works. Our way, it's all messed up. We thank you that your way is the straight and narrow path, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Help us not to be lazy in prayer, but to do your will daily. In the name of Jesus, we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody need me to cover anything else before we go? All right. That means no, I ain't hear nobody. So I love you all. Look forward to talking to you all. Oh, yes, I want to tell you, I'll be speaking on a conference line, Operation Outreach for Souls, this coming Friday. I will text you all and let you know. So I pray you all can come on. You know, you all are my number one supporter. So I thank God for you all if you're available. All right? Love y'all.
Thank you.
Love you too.
Thank you.
Amen.
Love y'all. Bye-bye.
Love you.
Love you.